The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 21. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and am now leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text I chose for today's message was the alternate gospel lesson. I should have coordinated this one better, but you know what? It's still Scripture. From John chapter 5. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered, and waiting for the moving of the waters. For the angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And there was a certain man there who had been there 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. This pool could have been called a house of mercy, but for some it became a house of misery. An angel would descend at certain times during the year, stir up the waters, and the first one there would be healed. Revelation 16:5 also talks about the angel of the waters. The people believed that when the angel went into the waters, it was the power of God, the presence of God that they were witnessing. And there were five porches where they were gathered, all the sick. But Jesus is attracted to just one of them. You know, it's not the only time that liquid has made people whole again. The sheep gate was near the pools, and in the sheep gate was all the sacrificial lambs. In the Old Testament, we have the sheep gate, but it represents the New Testament cross. And it's the blood on the cross that many are healed both then and today. So there's a great multitude of people waiting to get into the pool. They were sick. Many people have been sitting by this pool near the sheep gate for years. People then and people today are sick with sin. We're waiting for a moment to be healed like the people were on the porch. On the porches, there were people who couldn't see, lame, who could not walk, deaf, who could not hear, withered and deformed, and just poor beggars. Identity had no meaning here on their being healed. In other words, there was no special attention paid to anyone based on status. No one had an advantage. Being good did not give you an advantage. Being wealthy did not give you an advantage. Coming from a good family did not give you an advantage. Or being the poorest person there did not give you an advantage. Christ oftentimes shows his impartiality. Peter writes in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, that Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He doesn't put people in order of which one he thinks is more important. This man needed God's forgiveness. The rest of the people needed the same healing touch, but Jesus comes to this one. They were sick, but they were also sinners. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." None of us can be declared innocent until we're first proven guilty, and then we let Christ bail us out. All people are condemned to die because all people are sinners. There's not people who are walking around sinless or some people who are less of a sinner than somebody else, because one sin is a complete violation of the entire law of God. So the multitude there, they were also sentenced to death just because of their sin. Now verse 5 tells us there was a certain man by the pool that Jesus took particular notice of. The man has no name. We don't know who he is, but he could represent you or I. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be whole again? Do you want to be healed?" You know, I wonder if he had lost his hope after 38 years of laying there, ever gave up hope of ever being healed, had his heart withered like his limbs had withered. John chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And a certain man was there which has an infirmity 38 years. He'd been born with it. The doctors were not able to do anything. Today we can do something. When somebody's born with a deformity, we can do things to correct it. It's really cool that while the baby is still in the mother's womb, they can operate on the baby there and correct problems. Talk about medical technology and a blessing from God when we use it correctly. Now, the man had an inability then to be healed. That's the same spiritual condition of people. We have an incurable disease within us. Without Christ, we are doomed to eternal death. Now, before the man died of natural causes, Christ interjected himself into the man's life, healed him, and forgave him. He was desperate. He had been there 38 years. That would be the equivalent of how many of us here would go to see the doctor? The waiting room is full of people. Once a year, the nurse opens up the door and says the doctor will see someone, and you have to rush to be the first person in the door. How many people would do that one year? I thought so. 38? That's incredible. 38 years he had laid there. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says, "Blessed is the man who hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door." He had tried to get down in the water on his own, but he couldn't make it. The man's efforts would never heal him because he couldn't do anything to heal himself. In other words, our good intentions mean nothing to God as far as salvation goes. Turning over a new leaf, changing the way we are, does not earn us credit before God for salvation. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me." The man was destitute. He didn't know how long he was going to live. He'd already lived 38 years near the pool. But you know what? Time runs out for every one of us. For the unsaved person, the last time they say no to God is when they find out what the result of that one is. John chapter 5, verse 6 says, "When Jesus saw him lie there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said unto him, Will you now be made whole?" Jesus already knew the answer. Jesus asked questions all through his earthly ministry, but he already knows the answer. Will you be made whole? Everyone is asked that question by the Lord. Do you want to be made whole? Because God never forces himself on anyone. God never says to John, an unbeliever, "You are going to believe now." He never forces anyone to believe in him. We have the power to reject. We don't have the power to accept. But the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts. The Messiah looks for the lost. He knew our condition and he died for all. The place, of course, where all this took place was a pool, a place of healing. Bethesda itself means a house of mercy. No one could pay their way into the pool. Now, if this happened today and there was a man who couldn't get in the water in time, we would have a fundraising campaign to build a ramp down into the water and get him a motorized wheelchair so he had a chance to get down into the water. That's man's wisdom. That's not relying on God. Jesus cures him with his words, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." What a strange command. He can't walk. But Jesus tells him, "Rise up and walk anyway." His body was made whole. Now, we don't know exactly how that was, but I've always imagined as the man started moving to stand up, something he hadn't been able to do in 38 years, all right, as he tried to stand up, he was slowly healed as it went along. We don't know. That's just my opinion, the way I envision it. He believed, therefore he was healed. In faith, there's always an action. You notice he didn't say to the man, "Are you trying to get into the pool?" He didn't say, "Let me help you into the pool." His message had nothing to do with the pool itself. The man walked immediately. That's another miracle. If somebody has never walked before, how do they know how to walk? How do they know how to have the balance to walk? Come on, it takes a baby almost 2 years to master that one. But he immediately stood up, walked, rolled up his bedroll, and went on his way. There's more to the story, but I didn't read it. You can read it from yourself in John chapter 5. You know, if the man would have refused Jesus, eventually he would have died on that porch waiting to be healed. Jesus' words are comforting words. As I said, think of the joy this man had the very first time he walked. He rolled up his bedroll and he walked away. He could carry it home. Imagine the shock of that one when he comes home, knocks on the door, "I'm here," and he's standing. There must have been a lot of praise the Lord there. They turned into Baptists for a moment, yell, "Praise the Lord." Anyway, John chapter 4, verse 14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall in him be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." From Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Maybe you feel a ton of pressure on your shoulders. Jesus says, "Come to me." Maybe you've talked to various people about your problems, and your problems are still there. Now what do? You listen to the Lord's words, "Come unto me." Maybe you're having money matters in your house. Listen to the Lord, "Come to me." Maybe you're feeling all alone. "Come to me." Whatever your problem is, Jesus says, "Come to me." So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.